Hi guys. So I keep getting asked what I think of Erica Kirk, her speeches, her recent behavior on the podcast, and if I think that any of it is real. So I'm here to assure you with 100% certainty that I'm not buying it. Now, before you come at me in the comments, keep in mind that this is just my opinion. You might have a different opinion, and that's fine. I'm not here to change your mind. But if you watched her thinking something's off, I agree. And today, I'll show you the tells in her first speech that led me to the conclusion that she's full of it. Let's get into it. I'm a trained actor, and I've worked in film and onstage for years. And I can tell you that any trained actor can see right through Erica Kirk. Good actors have different methods of getting into character. This allows them to express the genuine emotions that the scene elicits. But bad actors always have the same MO: exaggeration and melodrama. One of the biggest tells of a bad actor is gesturing, also known as the Vanna White effect. If you don't know who she is, Google her. For example, they deliver the line, "I have a headache," while rubbing their temples or grabbing their head to show you how much pain they're in. Does anyone actually do this when they really have a headache? The challenge for the actor is to live as if something were true while knowing that it's not. A good actor can temporarily suspend their disbelief to create an illusion for the audience. But when the actor can't even get themselves to believe the lie, they gesture to try to convince us to believe it. And Erica's entire speech is just one big gesture after another. I can already hear you saying, "Well, Erica isn't an actor," but I disagree. She's just a really bad one. The first red flag for me wasn't anything in the speech, but in the timing of her address. She had just seen her husband get shot and killed right in front of her 2 days prior, but was somehow still able to deliver a 17-minute coherent speech in full hair and makeup. Whether it's your spouse or not, witnessing a traumatic event like that has marked effects on a person's ability to function, at least temporarily. Sudden severe trauma causes not just emotional distress, but cognitive dysfunction because the amygdala, responsible for fight or flight and for our emotions, is in overdrive, which causes a shutdown of the prefrontal cortex where we process information. That's why people who experience sudden severe trauma are often rendered speechless. But not Chatty Cathy. She had plenty to say and did so without a hitch. The second red flag was the sound quality of the video, or I should say, the lack of it. Turning Point USA has access to state-of-the-art equipment, so why wasn't she mic'd? Even if they'd only used the internal mic from the camera, we still wouldn't hear this excessive amount of crackling static. In my professional opinion, this sound effect was added later with editing tools to make the recording sound off the cuff and unplanned. Which then leads me to wonder what the metadata would say about the date and time of this recording. I'm not making accusations, I'm just wondering. As we go through this speech, I want you to notice something really strange. Not the fact that she's not actually crying, because you can see that for yourself, but I counted 7 times that she pats her dry eyes with a tissue, and every single time, she only pats her left eye. That's weird because real tears come from both eyes. Also, notice that her gestures don't flow naturally, but are motions that start and end with specific verbal cues. Notice the sound. It's a lot. Okay, I'm gonna stop it right there. If you are a person of faith and you are calling upon God, your source of strength and inspiration to help you, this is something that you're going to do private, right? No person of faith is going to display this, you know, in this super dramatic, all this whispering. You know, that's not authentic. It just is not. Like, that's very performative, and it's trying to show, like, I am a person of faith. I am struggling with this. Like, if you are truly struggling, and this is one thing that you will learn as an actor. A person who is truly struggling is always trying to hide it. That's what we do when we are truly struggling. We try our best to hide it. We don't put it on display. When this is, again, the gesturing, when we gesture to, you know, how we're feeling or, oh my God, and what am I gonna, this is all fake. Okay. You guys have to realize this. Like, in your regular life, when you are dealing with people in your regular life that do this type of gesturing, just be aware that they are trying to manipulate you, because that's all that is. A person who's truly struggling, you never even can tell because they are trying to hide it so much. So let's just go on. And also, you notice the crackling sound, the background sound is just horrible, and there's no real reason for it. So moving on.
Good evening. My name is Erica Kirk. Charlie Kirk is my husband. I first want to thank the local, state, and federal law enforcement who worked tirelessly to capture my husband's assassin so that he can be brought to justice. I want to thank the first responders who struggled heroically.
Okay. This, again, is intolerable to me. I'm going to try to keep it together because I told you guys I would, give you all the tells. But this heroically, like, that is inauthentic. That is performative, okay? Something that she does a lot in this video, she repeats words that she wants to really, really, really let you know that she's feeling. And that is, again, a device. A person who is being authentic is just going to say how they feel, and that's it. If they have to say thank you, they will. And it's just surprising to me, and I'll go into it later in this video, but that a person who has just gone through such a traumatic event, right? Not only was he her spouse, but even if he wasn't, let's pretend, being in a crowd and seeing someone get killed, right, in real time is an extremely traumatic event. This is not something that renders most people able to coherently give a 17-minute speech 2 days later. Most people will be very much like unable even to process simple things because your mind is not working in the same way. Your prefrontal cortex has been shut down pretty much. It's been compromised because your amygdala is in overdrive. Your amygdala, which is like fight or flight, which are our emotions. The amygdala, when you see something like this, when you experience a sudden and severe trauma, your amygdala lights up. And when that happens, your prefrontal cortex shuts down. So all of your reasoning, your logic, all of this stuff just goes out the window. That's why a lot of people that go through stuff like this don't even know what time it is, what day it is. They, things just lose meaning. But Erica is able not only to keep it together very well, considering, but she's actually being like coherent, and she's like listing all the first responders. And I'm not saying not to be grateful, but it's just like so over the top. This, and I'm sorry for all that noise. It's just so over the top, ridiculous. Like, it's stunning to me how I'm supposed to believe that this is a woman that just went through this type of trauma. So let's continue.
Save Charles's life. And the police, who acted bravely to make sure that there were no other victims on that terrible afternoon. I want to thank the officers who have protected our Turning Point USA family.
I want you to notice how she said that, because her speech got very matter of fact. Like, our Turning Point family. Like, how do you... This is not a person, in my opinion, that is in shock. It just isn't. She's very composed. And just let me see if I can replay it.
Victims on that terrible afternoon.
Also, I want to say that terrible afternoon. So when investigators, for example, are interviewing a suspect or a possible suspect, right? One of the first things that they do is they try to distance themselves from what actually happened. So that terrible afternoon, not, the day he got killed, right? So they try to minimize what actually happened, and they try to minimize also like their involvement in it. And sometimes they will even talk about themselves in third person. So everything's kind of like pushed away. So that terrible afternoon, well, I don't know, but I would think that it's more than just like terrible. Like, you lost your husband in this very tragic and violent way. Like, I think it goes beyond terrible, but why is she diminishing it? Let's go on.
I want to thank the officers who have protected our Turning Point USA family.
See how matter of fact?
These past 2 days.
So matter of fact.
And I want to thank the Turning Point USA board.
The board.
The COO, Justin Strife.
The COO, the board, this is what you're thinking of? This is what's on your head?
I want to thank the staffers of this, his amazing Charlie Kirk show.
What is there to laugh about? I don't understand these reactions. These reactions are not congruent with what just happened. Not for a person who's in shock, not for a person who's in mourning. And I will address what, I know what you're thinking. I will address this later on. Let's just get through this somehow.
Who helped him broadcast from this studio, this...
Okay, gesturing. I told you guys, right? And it's right on cue. It's like from this, it's to me repulsive. It is perverse what is happening here. So I am trying to keep it together. But this type of gesturing, looking over exactly on cue, on this, you know, like what is that? Like, what is that? This is so using devices for all this drama, for all this, like, I get so upset about this. But anyway, let's continue.
This chair. Every day he loved it. He loved what he did.
Every day.
I want to thank the millions of people who have shown.
Okay, I want you to notice how quickly she turned, right? Because she's going, every day. Like, she's so heartbroken. And immediately, it turns into every day. I want to thank, notice this, I'm going to rewind.
I want to thank the millions of people who have shown their
Let's
love
do it again.
For Charlie.
Notice how quickly she changes her demeanor and the tone of her voice on cue.
What he did. I want to thank the millions of people who have shown.
What he did. I want to thank the million. Do you guys not see something wrong with this? Am I the only person here?
I want to thank my husband's dear friend, Vice President Vance.
Okay, now we get to the political part. This is where she is going to go down the line of all the political people and everybody, you know, it's like this long list of name dropping and just all politics, right? So...
and his phenomenal wife, Usha, for their love and support. You guys honored my husband so well, bringing him home.
There's a question about that, and I know a lot of you have already raised it, but even going back to like what she was saying about first responders, like why wasn't there an ambulance there? Any event that has so many people, like things can happen. There was no ambulance there. He was taken to a not the nearest hospital. Like, there's a lot of weird stuff going on here, but I just want you to take notice of that. Let's keep going.
You both are tremendous. I want to thank President Trump.
She did it again. Did you notice? You both are tremendous. I want to thank President Trump. You guys, this is not a genuine emotion. This is not a person who is genuinely feeling what they are saying. I'm going to replay it because this has to be replayed.
Phenomenal wife.
Because they will manipulate you.
For their love and support, you guys honored my husband so well, bringing him home. You both are tremendous.
Watch.
I want to thank President Trump and his incredible family for the same. Mr. President, my husband loved you.
I'm not, so many videos have been made to mock her, but it's just notice that she's making all the faces, but no tears are coming out, you guys. Like, she's grimacing. She's like, but nothing is coming out of her eyes. You get it? I know a lot of you are going to have a hard time with this video. And like I said, I'm not trying to change your mind. But be cognizant, because people use this BS on you all the time to manipulate you, to get you to do things for them and get you to believe certain things. And it's all BS. And I know that you're good people, and that's why you don't want to think that a widow is capable of doing this, and you're trying to make excuses for her and all the rest of it. But there is just no way that a person who is genuine is going to make all of these without a tear. Come on. Like, she's not crying. I just want you to notice she's making the face, but she's not crying.
And he knew that you loved him too.
I cannot.
He did. Your friendship was amazing.
More whispering.
You supported him so.
Your friendship was amazing. You see? It's like all on cue. It's like she. Okay, and a good actor will be able to say your friendship was amazing, like without it being like on a word, right? She's not a good actor. She's trying to act. She's acting, but she's not good at it. But just keep in mind, and that's the first dry eye, you know, thing that she does. That she's going to keep doing it.
Well, as did he for you. Now and for all eternity, he will stand at his Savior's side, wearing the glorious crown of a martyr.
I take issue with this, and I'll tell you why. Charlie didn't have the choice to be a martyr. He didn't have that choice, right? He was killed. He didn't have the choice. He was like the choice to do something, to give up your life or not or whatever. That choice was taken from him because this came out of nowhere. He was out in an event with security, I'm sure trusting that they had swept the buildings, that everything was secure, that everybody was going to do their jobs and that everything would be fine. But saying that he's a martyr, automatically it changes the narrative, right? So now if he's a martyr, we can just look at him that way, and we don't have to ask so many questions anymore, you guys. He laid down his own life on purpose. He was killed, but, you know, he willingly went. No, he did not. He did not willingly go, okay? He had no choice. But she's coloring it in a way that makes anyone watching this believe that he voluntarily gave up his life, and he didn't. This is not fair. He had no choice.
He loved the Chicago Cubs. And my goodness, did he love the Oregon Ducks. He'd want me to say go Ducks, so.
Okay, not only is that all this laughing and giggling super bizarre, and again, not something that a person who is in shock would do, but you know the schedule for the Ducks? Like, you remember that after what you just went through, after what you just saw? You remember that? This goes to show, it shows me clear as day. And I'll tell you, because, you know, a lot of times you can tell what a person is, when a person is pretending, when a person is lying, when a person is just going through the motions, because a person that has gone through the trauma that she just went through would not have remembered the Ducks or even the Ducks existed. And that's just the truth. And if you don't believe me, look it up, or else I can do another video on it, because that would make this one way too long.
I have to, since they play on Saturday. So go Ducks.
Unbelievable.
And he loved me with all of his heart. And I knew that. Every day I knew that. He made sure I knew that every day. Every day he would ask me, how can I?
Every day. She repeats it like 4 or 5 times. Again, with the repetition. Just take note.
Charlie always said that if he ever ran for office, I know a lot of you asked if he ever was going to, but okay. Privately.
Second time. Notice, because I counted like 7 times that she in total tissues her dry eyes, but it's always the same eye. Take a notice. Just look.
He told me if he ever did run for office that his top priority would be to revive the American family. One of Charlie's favorite Bible verses was Ephesians 5, verse 25.
Gesturing. Ephesians 5:25. She doesn't know how to act. She's trying to, but she doesn't know how to.
My husband laid down his life for me, for our nation, for our children.
Again, he didn't lay his life down. He wasn't given that choice. It was taken from him. So
I will never, ever have the words to describe the loss that I feel in my heart.
She won't have the words. No, but you know, words are cheap, right? Actions speak louder than words. And I can see with my own two eyes, and I hope you guys can too, that she is not being a genuine, authentic, sorrowful person. I don't know why, but it's clear. It's like if you have eyeballs, you can see it. She's not being real. None of this is real.
But Charlie, baby, I know you do too. I know you do. So does our Lord. And our world is filled with...
Okay, notice once again. I know you do too. In our world. Like, this is not natural, you guys. This is all acting. I would be curious to see the paper, the script. It probably doesn't even exist anymore, but I guarantee you that every cue was written out for her. Like, this is where you pat. This is where you whisper. This is where you now change tone. Like, you go from this to this. Like, because that is not a natural progression. Human beings have to experience the entire emotion as it goes through, and then it will change into something else, but it takes a beat. It doesn't take like a cue. But let's just watch that part again.
I know you do. So does our Lord. And our world is filled with evil. I've heard the testimonies from people my husband inspired to get married.
Third time. Again, same eye. Watch.
I've heard the testimonies from people my husband inspired to get married.
Told you.
To start families. The evildoers responsible for my husband's assassination have no idea.
Okay, I have to stop it right there because she's going to say no idea like 10 times. And it's this repetition that is so performative. No one speaks this way. No one is genuinely going to express themselves this way. You can say to someone, you have no idea, right? Because you mean it. But when you're trying to show that you mean it, then you'll employ devices like this. This is really bad acting. But notice how many times she says, you have no idea. She already said it once.
They have done. If you thought that my husband's mission was powerful before, you have no idea.
Three.
You have no idea what you just have unleashed across this entire country.
Four.
And this world, you have no idea.
Five.
You have no idea the fire that you have
Six.
Ignited within this wife.
Okay, this wife, again. This is putting her, what she is trying to do is to kind of give herself a different, yes, she's his wife, but she says this wife, not me, right? Me is me, but this wife, it becomes a persona. This persona is being created right here. So you can see it. This wife, this widow, you know, because that is what is going to conjure up in the audience. Tropes. Now, these tropes are usually the warrior or some mythological something where, you know, it gets everybody excited and, oh, yes, I remember this is what she is now. She's not Erica Kirk. She's not me. It's this wife. She's creating a persona. Just watch.
The cries of this widow will echo around the world like a battle cry.
Battle cry. So we're in war. Do you see where I'm going with this?
To everyone listening tonight across America, the movement my husband built will not die. It won't. I refuse to let that happen. It will not die.
She's making a lot of grimaces, and but there's no tears. There's no tears. Like,
all of us will refuse to let that happen. No one will ever forget my husband's name, and I will make sure of it. Our campus tour this fall will continue.
Okay, now she gets into Turning Point USA's whole schedule and how nothing's changed and everything will remain the same and all the events are still going to take place. And she goes into this weird, in my opinion, diatribe about, like, you know, getting people to sign up and young people to sign up and just come to the events. Like, why? I just don't understand. There is not a world where I, knowing what I know about psychology and human behavior, that this makes any sense, or this looks like a person who's in grieving. A person who is in mourning is not going to be able, okay? Maybe someone else from Turning Point would be able to say this stuff, like, make sure you guys join, we're still gonna have our events, we're still gonna do this, because they're a little bit more removed from the actual event, from actual Charlie's death. But this is his widow. This is his widow promoting Turning Point. And you can say, oh, because she wants to make sure. Yeah, of course she wants to make sure. That's why you delegate that. When you're in mourning, you delegate that responsibility to someone else. I mean, just take a look at, like, even in the news when, you know, God forbid, but a family is going, you know, their child is missing or whatever. Sometimes they can't keep it together. So their lawyer will say, you know, the family would like to ask anybody that, you know, that has any information, because they can't talk. They can't speak. They can't communicate, that they're grieving. They're grieving. And so, yeah, it's totally fine for her to still want his work to move on and legacy and all that. That all makes sense. What doesn't make sense is that she herself is doing it. She herself has enough presence of mind to promote Turning Point USA at this particular moment in time, and to do so in such a composed and calculated manner. Okay? So just keep that in mind.
The radio and podcast show that he was so proud of.
Ugh, again, gesturing. Again, with the touching of the chair. Like, I can't. I hope you guys can see this.
We'll go on. If you want to get involved, the best way you can do that is going to tpusa.com. That's what he would say every day from this chair. Every single day.
This is so blatant. It's so, like, self-promoting. I'm so disgusted by this. I can't even, like, I'm really, really controlling myself, you guys. But this is so disgusting to me. And I hope that you guys can see through this. I hope. I really, truly, or else we're toast.
I watched his show every day, and he would always say, if you want to get involved, go to tpusa.com.
Again with the chair.
If you're a pastor, join our movement at TPUSA Faith. And if you're a parent, I highly recommend that you come to America Fest in December.
She's so composed, right? So composed. I'm sure she's beside herself, though.
Sign up right now for that, because we would love to see you. He wanted everyone to know that if they confess the Lord Jesus Christ who rose from the dead, then they will be saved.
I believe that too, but what's up with all this grimacing? Where are the tears?
I know my husband is still here.
Again. Told you. Look.
He's watching over us.
Same eye. Always the same eye.
I don't remember the last time I slept.
Okay. What?
Charlie, I love you. I love you, baby. Gigi, our daughter, just ran into my arms. God bless you all. And may God bless America.
There you have it. There you have it. I mean, everyone grieves differently. Yeah, for sure they do. Some withdraw, while others lash out. Some turn to drugs and alcohol, while others avoid any reminder of their loss. What they don't do is whatever that was. Compare Erica Kirk's reaction to Jackie Kennedy's somber grace or Coretta Scott King's profound grief. That says it all. I won't go into her speech at Charlie's memorial because it's intolerable and it's just more of the same. The whole event was spectacle, stunningly inappropriate, garish and vulgar, or as Joan Didion would say, so explicit as to suggest nothing beyond itself. A mockery of what a memorial should be, reverent and genuine. Hollow eulogies conjured images of martyrs and saints, of wars and calls to action, language meant to stir the crowd and bury their doubts in emotional distractions. Just notice the reaction when Erica said,
"I forgive him.
The message was crystal clear. Let bygones be bygones. And more importantly, stop asking questions. And for some, it worked. One netizen commented, "What you see is a woman who has been transformed from a wife and mother to a Valkyrie." Yeah, sure, maybe. Maybe she is a Valkyrie. Or maybe she's just a widow whose bizarre behavior is sounding alarms that something's definitely off. And the only thing that's been transformed is your ability to think for yourself. See, this is what happens when manipulators invoke mythological tropes and tap into your psyche. You no longer see them as they are, but as they want to be seen. You no longer see the situation as it obviously is, but in a way that's more palatable, maybe more dramatic, more enticing, and closer to what you'd rather believe. Give them bread and circuses, and they will never revolt. And that's exactly what this was, a circus, mounted with all the flair of a Vegas show to entertain and distract, full of dramatic devices and false sentiment, but bereft of all solemnity and respect. So to answer the question, in my opinion, she's faking it. And it's disturbing to see that no one in Charlie's inner circle, not his friends and colleagues at Turning Point, not his family or his parents, and not even his wife, is expressing any sign that they genuinely mourn his loss. Charlie wasn't perfect, but he deserved better. See you on the next vid.